Welcome to another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we see Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. Today's edition, I want to call this a heart dump. This is a impromptu, spontaneous podcast episode. This is going to be talking about an issue that's close to my heart, a slightly disappointing situation, and just wanted to just share my thoughts. I've held my thoughts on this one back for quite a while. This was a developing story throughout the years, and even so more over the past few months. And then I think it's come to almost a conclusive end today or yesterday, when I received an update about the investigation into Ravi Zacharias. So just a quick little background story into how I came to learn about RZIM, or the Ravi Zacharias Institute of, I don't even remember what the M stands for now, but a while ago, for me, I had sort of like my first apologist moment, and I failed, by the way. Was back in college. I remember on a Friday evening, there were a number of people who were drunk, probably high off of various drugs and whatnot. But for the most part, some very, very smart individuals otherwise. And we ended up having a discussion about faith and God. And that's when they bombarded me with a lot of questions, a lot of heartfelt questions, honest to goodness questions that they wanted answers to. And I felt like a failure because I couldn't provide those answers for them. And, you know, God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. But my faith was struggling to just answer their questions. And I never forgot that experience. So years would go by and my faith would continue to grow, but also would continue to get tested to the point where I would question salvation. I questioned the power of the resurrection. And a lot of these things were starting to weigh on me and weigh on my faith. My faith was starting to waver. I needed help. And unfortunately, I didn't go to a church growing up that was, you know, apologetic centered. You know, it was a lot of emotional connections to Jesus Christ. But to be able to try and reason the validity of the Gospels and so forth, that wasn't formal classes or formal transfer of thoughts when it came to that. You know, there's probably, you know, I can't go into the details, but apologetics was not something that I remember gaining a lot of experience throughout my earlier portion of my life, including my childhood. But I digress. So as time went on, I actually saw a movie called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, by Ben Stein. And this is an apologetics movie. It also talks about how the spiritual warfare on campus and how academia is rejecting God in many ways, even blacklisting various professors who express even the slightest bit of faith in Jesus Christ. So from there, I embarked on a journey to get into apologetics more. This day, I'm not a scholar or a theologian, but I am drawing closer to Christ. So that led me to following some new ministries. I came across Ravi Zacharias. I listened to a few different of his recordings, started listening to him on, you know, YouTube as well too. And I was very, very drawn to the message of Jesus Christ that he shared. Also his testimonies of being on a suicidal bed and learning about Christ and accepting Jesus Christ on a suicide bed. And it was a tough situation to hear about his suicidal moments, because not that I was going through suicide moments, but I started to question the purpose that God had for me. So moving forward, though, I would listen to his podcast. And then, of course, I learned about some of the other apologists and, you know, and just really, really started to embrace or receive the wealth of knowledge and wisdom that hit not only him, but his ministry shared as well too. So as time progressed more and more, just jumping forward here, some questions came up regarding his academic background and academic credentials. Those questions came up. I never really paid too close attention to them. I know that from his testimony that he grew up in the caste system of India, and I think that was one of the reasons why he was on a bed of suicide, was that he didn't want to live. Apparently, he took a test or something, and then I guess he didn't test well to be in one of the upper castes, or upper class, I guess, in India. A very, that's just a life sentence to either mediocrity or, poverty, or I guess. Anyhow, I digress once again. But when I heard him talk about his academics, I never really cared too much for academic credentials. I don't require a minister to have a PhD to inspire me to follow Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says, if childlike faith, have the faith of a child, and then of course, from faith to faith, the just must live by faith, not by credentials or man's wisdom or, formal educations and so forth. Now, there is a place for that, don't get me wrong. There is definitely a place for all of that. But when it comes to pursuing Christ, it's a spirit issue, it's a heart issue, it's about your soul. So, moving forward again. So, yes, you had academic, quote unquote, fraud in there as well, too. And that was definitely sad to hear about, but not totally discouraging from the entire ministry. Now, as time goes on further, there were allegations of sexual misconduct for Ravi Zacharias. And this is something that he denied adamantly. And it's something that was just plaguing him for a while, actually. There was more and more questions about this. And then, of course, back in 2014, there was a woman. I don't want to share her name. Even though the name is already out there in the public domain, I want to keep this as anonymous as possible, because this can happen to anybody, whether the temptation to be a perpetrator or, the temptation to be groomed. So that being said, Ravi Zacharias was in a situation where now he groomed a married woman into sexting him. He started, according to records, he basically used spiritual authority and perhaps even misrepresentation of God's word for selfish desires, selfish sexual desires. This is something that occurred not only with a Canadian woman, but apparently, according to the latest records, it happened with a number of different women, a lot of them actually. I want to say at least 10 that were revealed in a updated, let's see, an updated report from an independent investigation organization. That investigation organization is called Miller and Martin. So they are private investigators, and RZIM, upon the death of Ravi Zacharias, they opened up an investigation. And in this investigation, they took a deep dive into a lot of the misconduct that Ravi Zacharias engaged in. So I'm just going to read a quick little excerpt from the latest report that was released very, very recently. I want to say within 24 hours is when I received it. And so here, basically, it says here on September 29th, 2020, and it says Christianity Today published an article citing allegations by three anonymous sources that the late Ravi Zacharias sexually harassed them at two spas that he co-owned. Miller and Martin, PLLC, was hired by Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, RZIM, to conduct an independent investigation into these allegations. RZIM management agreed that we would report to a committee of the RZIM Board of Directors Both RZI management and the board committee confirmed that the investigation extended to any any other allegations of sexual misconduct that might arise from our investigation. We confirmed one of the three accounts described in the Christianity Today article and found significant evidence of sexual misconduct involving additional massage therapists. We also reviewed Mr. Zacharias's electronic devices and found evidence of text and email-based relationships with women who were not his wife, as well as over 200 selfie-style photographs of women. So that's quite an introduction right there. This is obviously damning news to RZAM. You know, right now, I guess a lot of people are looking to see, hey, all right, were you complicit in this situation? Or, you know, what's the ministry of reconciliation? What's the ministry of repentance that's going to be broadcasted going forward? So just want to also mention that this is an RZM. This is an investigation into Rabbi Zacharias by RZIM. Now, it should be noted also, too, that the allegations by that Canadian woman against Rabbi Zacharias, that was settled a few years ago, and it's been sealed with an NDA. Now, this NDA is with the family, the Zacharias family, as opposed to the Rabbi Zacharias International Ministries. So it should be noted that that NDA was not reverted or lifted as part of this investigation. And that does concern me because it doesn't offer the full transparency that I thought was the initial intent of this full investigation. So, the settlement between Rabbi Zacharias and the Canadian woman who sexted him, that is still, I guess, under wraps, and it is not a part of this investigation. And that does concern me, considering that a majority of the Rabbi Zacharias, the Zacharias family, are on the board of the Rabbi Zacharias International Ministries. So that's just a side note that I just want to throw out there that is a concern for me. So the scope of the investigation, it says here that through our investigation was not limited to the spa allegation reported in Christianity Today. We had to make judgment calls about how broadly to investigate. For example, we did not enlist resources on the ground in Asia, where Mr. Zacharias frequently traveled to locate and interview witnesses there. With over 200 massage therapist contacts in Mr. Zacharias' phone, including many overseas, we did not think it worthwhile to attempt an exhaustive survey and instead sought to speak with those we thought most likely to have relevant information or who otherwise reached out to us. At times, we received secondhand and uncorroborated information that we chose not to pursue and instead focused on more definite leads. These were not limitations placed on us by RZIM or the board committee, but decisions that we made primarily because we found enough evidence to answer the ultimate question we were hired to investigate. And it continues to say, while we limited our engagement to an investigation of sexual misconduct, we face the issue of what conduct fits that description. Some may claim that it excludes communication that does not result in physical contact, but we spoke with many witnesses, both within and outside RZAM, who saw the question of Mr. Zacharias's alleged sexual misconduct as intertwined with allegations by a woman named that Canadian woman, I'm not going to say her name for now, who claimed in 2017 that Mr. Zacharias engaged in sexually explicit online conversations with her and solicited indecent photos of her. As expressed by one witness who worked closely with Mr. Zacharias, this Canadian woman account at least makes the spa allegation more plausible and vice versa. Many people within RZIM felt strongly that the Canadian woman's matter, which resulted in a confidential settlement agreement, left several questions unanswered, and RZIM leadership encouraged us to include it in our investigation. This report explains our effort to investigate that matter and describe other evidence that is consistent with the Canadian woman's allegation. So this last paragraph showed or shared how RZIM encouraged leadership to, how RZIM encouraged the private investigation firm to talk to this Canadian woman and to basically include her allegations as part of this investigation. I'm not going to read the entire document. It's 13 pages long, but later on, it is revealed that the Canadian woman and her husband, through legal counsel, chose not to get involved because the NDA would have been violated. And I believe the Zacharias family were not willing to remove to lift the NDA. So I don't believe, even though the invitation was there, I don't believe it was exhaustively investigated as part of this part of this report. So just to go on, it also talks about what the scope of the, well, let me just read the next paragraph real quickly. The scope of our engagement did not extend to RZIM finances, possible retaliation against employees, or other aspects of the organization's culture. This report comments on some of these issues as necessary to discuss sexual misconduct, but this was not an investigation into such topics. Similarly, we did not find evidence that anyone within RZIM or on its board knew that Mr. Zacharias had engaged in sexual misconduct. So there you go. Here's a man who, according to investigations, acted alone. And he was given a lot of flexibility. And apparently, you know, he had access to a lot of funds that were unaccountable. And just to summarize the rest of this article, because I don't want to stay on this topic too much longer. Everybody can look this information up. It should be public domain by now. He had a lot of access to money, and he made a lot of decisions independently of, you know, wise counsels. And even when people questioned his character or questioned his judgment, he retaliated with anger and, I guess, strife and threats, and, or, apparently he's given some people the silent treatment, which in a way could kind of blacklist them as ministers or members of RZIM. So this was a long time issue, that's been plaguing, Rabbi Zacharias. And just to be frank, I hope he repented. I really hope he reconciled. A downfall is nothing compared to hell. A downfall is nothing compared to being separated from God. And he knows this. I mean, I've heard him speak and preach and, do Q&A sessions on these very type of topics. He's talked about sexual misconduct or sexual temptation. He has a daughter who's very involved in the fighting against human trafficking. It's a very, very dramatic story. Who knows what is in that NDA now that I think about it? You know, who are the, did Rabbi Zacharias really act alone on this one? You know, was his wife really unaware? His wife of many, many decades, was she unaware of his proclivities? Was she complicit? Did she give up? Was she ashamed? There's all that plays a role in here. And I'm not asking these questions for entertainment value by no means, but she holds a very influential position in a international ministry, a ministry that takes money from or that receives money from a whole bunch of individuals. This is a very much unscripted podcast, and I just wanted to just share my thoughts on a man whose ministry has had a great impact in my life. Now, that being said, the Bible says we shouldn't worship mankind. We should not worship mankind, but that we should worship God. It even goes ahead and saying that we should not even have like spiritual fathers, you know, that we should have only the true Heavenly Father of our souls, of our spirit. So as far as like revering mankind, you know, we should respect, but as far as seeking Christ, we need to pursue his word and not pursue man's word. And so as devastating as this news is, you know, the Bible says we're also desperately wicked. Double-mindedness is a severe issue. And it's so devastating because, you know, one second you could be chasing after God, and then the next second you could be, you know, turning your back on God. And the thing is, I know I've experienced it before where I could be on fire one moment and then the next moment, not on fire. And so it's that instantaneous. I mean, the devil is very tricky, but the thing is, the devil can trick us, but he can't make us do evil. So yes, accountability is going to be necessary for this organization. Reconciliation is going to be needs to be in place for the victims, and then there's going to need to be a strong presence of repentance and perhaps reorganization as a ministry. This is a really good example or a really good opportunity to showcase what it's like to recover from a disaster, to recover from a spiritual downfall, to recover from offensive actions, you know. So at this point in time, you know, my prayers and thoughts are for RZIM. They put out a lot of great content. Don't want to throw out the child with the bathwater. I have no evidence that that the organization backed his knowingly backed his deceit. So at this point in time, I would say let's continue to pray for the organization. I believe there's a lot of great content meant to heal the soul, meant to grow the soul. So with that being said, my prayers go out to RZIM. So there are a lot of other things that are in this report. I'm sure if you go on RZIM.org, you will have access to the full report. And without going into too many details on this one, there were a number of women that were victimized by Rabbi Zacharias. And there just needs to be, some sort of reconciliation. Now, I understand, according to this report, a number of these women were receiving a great deal of money already. I think there was an indiscretionary fund that Rabbi Zacharias used to pay for some of their culinary school or massage classes, and you know, took care of some of their bills. And I guess through that, some of them felt obligated to satisfy some of his sexual needs because of that exchange. But I think the part that just concerns me the most is how he groomed them. He pretended to care about their souls, ultimately in retrospect. He pretended to care about their souls, and wanted to know more about them or know about their history or know about their faith, I guess. And, you know, when he's in a position of spiritual authority, you know, some of these women opened up. And in doing so, that's when the devil entered. And he allowed that same information meant to help save their souls or help increase their faith. He found the weakness, and instead of presenting God's strength so it would be made perfect within their weaknesses, he preyed on their weaknesses, P-R-E-Y. And he preyed on the weakness and used their weaknesses to spark a sexual relationship. And this was done on many occasions. And it's just unfortunate that this grooming nature shows, because it also hurts and damages a lot of other people's faith. Not those who are probably strong in faith, but those who are perhaps wavering, perhaps those who think, oh, Christians, you know, they're just they're hypocrites, and oh, they're just using God so they can get whatever they can on earth. They can use God to get money. They're using God to get sex. They're using God to basically power trip on this earth. So for those people who are learning about Rabbi Zacharias and their faith is wavering, my heart sincerely goes out to you, especially to you right now. Rabbi Zacharias has died. You know, he's completed his faith. I'm not in a position to judge his eternity, but while you're still alive, don't die in your sins is going to be my message to you. So that's my quick little thought on this. I wanted to talk about this earlier, but I wanted to wait until the investigation has concluded. Who knows if more information will come out after this, but for now, it's been determined that Rabbi Zacharias did engage in sexual misconduct, and it wasn't just a single instance. It was a web of lies, and it was a well-constructed situation, and people, for the most part, largely ignored it because of his reputation. But also know that there are people who started to speak up, and those brave people who started to speak up, those brave people that sought to reprimand him, or sought to gain deeper insight. Well, for those who were punished for, I guess, either trying to expose him or trying to correct him, my heart also goes out to them as well, too. They paid a price that they weren't supposed to. But you know what? According to scriptures, you know, there is a, you know, God is the rewarder of the slave as well as the masters of this world. So at this point in time, I just want to go ahead and just conclude by saying that the word of God is meant to free all of us, and it's designed to free all of us. The word of God is true. Let every man be a liar. And when it comes to righteousness, let us seek God's righteousness, and let us not accept self-righteousness. Don't believe in ourselves. Believe in God because we are desperately wicked. Believe in God because we need a savior. So this wraps up a heart dump edition of Beyond Sermons, where we see Christ beyond the pulpit. If you enjoyed this podcast, visit beyondsermons.com and subscribe on the platform of your choice. God bless.